Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. One of the things that I said yesterday was that I wanted to say more about forgiveness, and I decided I should do it sooner rather than later. So let's take a look at the gospel for today, and then I'm going to talk some more about forgiveness. The gospel is from John chapter 12, verses 44 to 50. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him. For I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke, it will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father has told me." Let me go back to an earlier verse. "Whoever rejects me and does not accept my word has something to judge him. The word that I spoke, it will condemn him on the last day." Now, God is giving us every opportunity to follow the will of the Father, and he points the way, and he has mercy upon us every time we fail if we repent. So he's made it exceedingly easy on one level for us. But one of the greatest stumbling blocks in the human condition is unforgiveness. And yet Jesus said to us very clearly, Gospel of John, "Love one another as I have loved you." What has God forgiven you? I know what God has forgiven me for. What has God forgiven you? Jesus says, "Love as I have loved," and part of love is forgiveness. It just is. Nobody could exist in any kind of unity if we did not forgive people. But so many, many people in our world carry terrible grudges, hardness of heart, bitterness, resentment, jealousy, anger. And the person who gets most destroyed is the person who carries all that. Jesus has asked us to forgive. What do we pray? How many times have I said this before, but I say it again. We pray the Lord's Prayer how often? "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." You're asking God, "Forgive me my sin the way I forgive others." You're actually saying it right there, and they're the words of Jesus to us. Forgiveness is so important that it's in the very prayer that we offer to the Father that Jesus taught us. So don't be upset that you can't forgive or that you have a hard time forgiving. We all can go through that. We all can have difficulties with that. But if God has commanded us, "Love one another as I have loved you," and you look how God forgives. He forgives again and again and again and again. And in addition, and most importantly, of course, giving his life for us, laying down his life for us. And having laid down his life for us, we still can turn away. We can still not ask God's forgiveness, let alone the forgiveness of others. And he's patient with us. And he extends his mercy the moment we ask for it. And Jesus says to us, "Love one another as I have loved you." And part of that love is forgiveness. Several weeks ago, I read to you a little article written by William Dirksen that appeared in Magnificat magazine in the March issue of Magnificat magazine. And Wilma was a woman whose 13-year-old daughter was murdered in November of 1984 in Winnipeg on her way home from school. So think of that, 13 years old, she was murdered, 1984, on her way home from school. The devastation and what it would do to parents is beyond, we don't have the words for it. The anger, the fear, the guilt. Why didn't I pick her up from school? But you had no idea what was going to happen. Regretting and being depressed. I know, and we've all seen it, what happens to the mother or the father of a child who dies this way. And Wilma wrote this short article here that I want to share with you. Some of you may have heard it before, but let's take it in again, because I think it exemplifies so well what happens if you forgive and what happens if you don't forgive. The day Candace's body was found, all our friends came to visit, bringing warm food with them. There was so much love in the house that it helped us to get through. And then around 10:30 that evening, when most people had left, there was a knock on the door and this stranger stood there. He told us, "I'm the parent of a murdered child too." He was saying, "We now belong to an exclusive club that no one wants to belong to." We invited him into the kitchen table. First of all, quite a gesture when you're just hours away from the worst news you could possibly get. They invited him to the kitchen table, and for the next 2 hours, he told us in vivid detail everything he had lost: his health, his relationships, his concentration, his ability to work. He had even lost all memory of his daughter because now he could only think of the murder, the trauma, and the hate in him that followed. He'd lost everything, brothers and sisters. Not only his daughter, but even the memory of his daughter. He was sick. He lost his health. He lost his relationships. He lost his concentration. He lost his ability to work. The only thing he could think about was the murder and the hate that followed. What's happened to him is he's been robbed of life. That's what unforgiveness does. Sometimes it only shows itself in the soul, but most commonly, it shows itself in body, mind, and spirit. Hate destroys. Unforgiveness destroys. You say, "But it's not fair." Let's see what God does with it. All the justice rests with God. She goes on to say, "My husband Cliff and I went to bed that night horrified by the graphic picture he had painted. Having just going through the pain of losing our daughter, it now seemed we might lose everything else as well, as that man had lost everything. And so we made a decision that night that we would respond differently. And we chose the path of forgiveness. Little did I know that the word forgiveness would haunt me for the next 30 years. It would prod me, guide me, heal me, label me, enlighten me, imprison me, free me, and in the end, define me." Forgiveness. I was right out there in public confessing to everyone the desire of my heart. For me, forgiving has been about turning what has happened to us into good, Forgiveness is not just a one-off event, nor does it mean you're doing the same thing again and again. The issues of Candace's murder present themselves differently every day. Forgiveness is a fresh, ongoing, ever-present position of the mind, which takes on many different forms. It is a promise of what we want to do. It's a battle, but better a battle that brings life to yourself and to others than the death that that man was dealing with while living. He was dead. We think, brothers and sisters, we think unforgiveness is punishing the other person, but it's not. It's punishing us. It's heaping red-hot coals unto our pain and our suffering. Remember, and I've shared this with so many of you so many times, but remember what Pope John Paul said, that forgiveness is not the opposite of justice, but it is the opposite of resentment and revenge. It's not the opposite of justice. You can still pursue justice if that is appropriate, but you can do it seeing justice served, that might not happen to some other person what has happened to you. To go for justice, but it's the attitude with which you do it. I've heard story after story of changes in people's lives right in the courtroom because somebody chose to forgive. It doesn't mean that therefore everything is fine, I've forgiven. We carry the pain of whatever we have had to endure. Of course we do. But forgiveness sets us free to receive all that God wants to give us. It takes us out of Satan's hands, who wants to destroy us through hatred and revenge. Those things can eat at us like a cancer and destroy us. The Father, God the Father, has forgiven. Jesus has forgiven us for what we did to him. And he asks, love, will you love as I love? We cannot do it on our own, but we can do it in the power of his grace and his strength. And when we do, it opens the door for an ever-deepening relationship with God himself. God draws very, very near, almost tangibly, to those who choose the high road, the call of God, to forgiveness of those who seem to have done something that is unforgivable to us. Pursue justice, yes, but pursue it in order to safeguard other people from what you or your family has endured. Brothers and sisters, you forgive. God will forgive you of everything. When you become more and more like Jesus, you bring down upon yourself the love of the Father at a level that you probably can't even contain it. So I want to say to all of you as my listeners of Food for the Journey, take a look where there's unforgiveness in your own heart. Ask God, ask your confessor to lead you, to guide you, to help you, so that you too may forgive and that the light of Christ may shine more brightly in your life and through you to many, many others. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.